Are you traveling to foreign countries for work? Do you have clients or colleagues abroad that you'd like to communicate more easily with? Then you should learn to speak a new language and make your business better. Living Language Business courses provide you with the most useful phrases, vocabulary, and cultural tips for business. Try a Living Language Business course for free by using code WSJ2016 at checkout. Visit livinglanguage.com/business to get started.
Live from the 2016 election from voting booths everywhere, video streaming, and the big legal gray area that goes along with it.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. And ripped from the 2016 election are headlines and increased rhetoric of voter surveillance. I'm sure you've heard the word rigged more than once or twice from a candidate in particular. P.S. The election has created a desire to document. And this comes into play on both sides of the ticket for different reasons. In 18 states, actually, photography at polling places is banned, but selfies are challenging laws that predate social media. Adding more to the stickiness of the situation is the actual law, pitting freedom of expression against the right to privacy. Sticky situation. Luckily, we have the Wall Street Journal's Tricia Thadani to break a few things down for us. Welcome back, Tricia.
Hey.
It's interesting. With this issue of voter intimidation in the headlines so much, is the thinking that live video streaming is just the obvious resource for that extra level of surveillance?
Right. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily an obvious resource for an extra level of surveillance, since this is the first election where live video streaming has really taken hold. It's pretty hard to tell how people will actually use it. But, you know, in theory, yes, people could use it for an extra level of surveillance. So for example, let's say a poll worker or another voter is acting out of line and intimidating someone to vote a certain way. Another voter, in theory, could easily record and broadcast that interaction. Or it could be used from a practical standpoint, such as showing people how long the lines in at a certain precinct are, or it could just be used for fun, like showing people, you know, that you voted, that you're excited about it, and just stuff like that.
Right. And, you know, because a lot of millennials are voting for the first time, and selfies and social media, they're really the norm. You wouldn't even necessarily think twice about, hey, why not? And right. Even most recently, Justin Timberlake had to find out the hard way that it's not done at voting booths so much. Can you actually remind listeners of the trouble that he got in?
Right. So in a genuine attempt to promote early voting, Justin Timberlake, he posted this selfie of himself in a Tennessee voting booth with his ballot, and the caption said something along the lines of, like, hey, I flew from L.A. to Tennessee to go vote, so can you just get out and go vote? So he had the best of intentions, obviously, but there's this new law in Tennessee that I think was passed in January, which forbids people in Tennessee from taking photos or videos inside a polling place. And doing so is punishable as a misdemeanor that can lead, I think, up to maybe 30 days in jail and has some sort of fine attached to it. So this whole issue with Timberlake brought to light how scattered these laws around the country regarding ballot selfies are.
Right.
So, for example, some states like Maine, they just discourage it. While other states like Florida and New York, they explicitly do not allow it. And then others like Vermont and New Hampshire and Connecticut don't really care. So they essentially allow it as well. Yeah.
You see how it gets so sticky here. And let's talk about some of the legal technicalities in question. So, for example, what's the difference between selfies and live streaming as far as legal technicalities go?
Yeah, so that's where the lines are super blurry with this. And it's really a stark example of how or another example of how technological innovation has really outpaced the law here. So poll workers generally need to go through training every single year, and some poll workers I spoke to said that live video streaming wasn't even mentioned to them during their classes, which was a really interesting point. And then some other state officials I spoke to said that the laws around video streaming would most likely just be lumped under their stance on ballot selfies and recording. But while that seems like it would be a simple answer, there are some major distinctions between selfies and live video. So, for example, with live video, you're more likely to catch another person in a shot without their consent. That can lead to some big issues. And another interesting point is that live video, I mean, it's inherently immediate. So it's immediately broadcast to an audience. So in theory, if an election worker would see someone taking this video and they were in a state which didn't allow it, they wouldn't be able to really intervene and ask someone to delete the video because it had already been broadcast to an audience. So even though some people say, or some officials have said that, you know, we're just going to treat live video like we do with selfies, there are some major distinctions that need to be taken into account.
And furthermore, and this is another testament to how live streaming and social media is just a part of our culture, you have companies like Facebook and Snapchat. They're actually urging people to get on their apps during this election. Mm-hmm. That makes the whole situation all the more inescapable.
Yeah, definitely. So Snapchat, you know, with almost every single major holiday or event, they have these themed filters. So for Election Day, they plan to have the same things. They're going to have filters and geotags. And a spokeswoman told me that they are planning to urge users to show themselves participating in the democratic process, you know, whether it's a picture of their campaign button or a selfie from the ballot box. And then Facebook also said that they will proactively encourage people to go use Facebook Live on Election Day.
So it seems like it's already assumed that voters could very well live stream anyway, and it's going to have to be right. The law that catches up to technology and not the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. So as one election worker in California put it, and in California is one of the states where these ballot selfies are banned, he was like, people will likely just disregard these laws and, you know, take photos and videos in the polling booth anyways, and there's nothing really that they can do about it. I mean, it just goes down to logistics. Like, it's hard to catch every person that's taking a photo or a video when they're able to be so discreet
right.
about it. But he said, I thought he made a good point, where as long as it's not a disruption to anyone else and they're not doing, you know, someone isn't live streaming disrespectfully or using it to intimidate another voter, it really shouldn't be much of a problem.
Be interesting how this will come to play in 2020 if we'll sort this
yeah.
out just yet. Very interesting. Tricia,
yeah.
thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
And that is the legal lowdown on the do's and don'ts as it pertains to technology, the voting booth, and Election Day. That's it for this edition of the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.